Hello and welcome to a special KETR's Locker Room. This week, we're sitting down with Blake Cooper, the superintendent of the Commerce ISD. We're going to talk to him for a little bit, and then we're also going to go into our second segment for this week, college basketball, including A&M Commerce basketball, and we'll also talk some of the Mavericks. I'm Cooper Welch. Here with me is my co-host, Ryan Billups. Taylor Phelps couldn't be with us this week, but as I said, we've got Blake Cooper with us here, and we are going to talk to him real quick. So first, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 52 years old, been married since 1982 to my bride and best friend, Tammy, and we have three children, Wesley, 29, Robert, 26, Rebecca is 18, and getting ready for the empty nest, and I don't know what else there is. My family's what it's about, so that's it about me, I guess.
Okay. Well, tell us how you got started in coaching and then went to administration.
Well, I'm a coach's kid.
Right.
And all I've ever known is sports. My dad was a head football coach. When I was born in 1960, he was the head football coach at Brazosport High School down on the coast. And at the time, that was the only high school. Brazoswood opened up in 1971. And my dad left there, went to Alvin, home of, I hope not the former president of the Texas Rangers, but of Nolan Ryan, he was the coach there. Then that, after 25 years of coaching at the collegiate and high school level, my father got out of coaching, and then we moved to A-Leaf, which is southwest side of Houston. All I ever really wanted to do was coach and teach, and I saw it modeled in front of me with my father. My mother was a teacher. And I saw what kind of difference my father and mother made in the lives of the kids they were around and they influenced. So that's something I just always wanted to do. When I came to East Texas State University in 1978, I knew I was going to be a teacher and a coach. So that's why I was in education. And then as years went on, I wanted to broaden that, hopefully that influence on the campus level. And so that's when I started talking about administration. I had a mentor that asked me if I ever considered administration. At the time, you couldn't have put me in administration with a gun. No way. But as I thought about it and prayed about it, I felt like that's really God wanted me to do. And so I started back to school to get my administrative certification. And one thing led to another. I was assistant principal and teacher and coach, did all three actually in Winnsboro. Mm-hmm. Went to Edgewood as head football coach. And then after 3 years, they asked me if I'd consider being the principal, and I did. And then I started going back to school here to get my superintendent certification. And next thing I knew, I went to be an assistant superintendent in Kauffman and then superintendent here in Commerce. So the administration thing, I miss the kids. When people say, do I miss coaching? Yes, I do. I mean, I miss the daily interaction with the students. That's why I got in this business. But now I feel like indirectly I'm having an impact on students. But I still get – I love being in the classrooms. I love being in the buildings. I just love being around students. That's why I do it. And so even though it's indirect in some ways, I still try to at least be out amongst them and try to have some type of relationship with them.
Did you yourself play any sports?
Yes, I did. In high school, I played football, baseball. I played basketball my freshman year, and by Christmas, I had more fouls than points and got the nickname Chopper. So my basketball career ended after that. I was a regional qualifier in the discus my senior year in track, and then played football here from 1978 through 81. Those four seasons. So I had a great time here in Commerce at East Texas State, as it was known at the time, and a lot of great relationships from the athletes that I played with. So anyway, yes, I did play football here.
All right. Well, what drew you here to Commerce, both as a university to attend and then later as a superintendent position?
Well, I'm not going to lie. In college, there's only folks to offer me any money to play.
Okay.
Hopefully they got a good investment out of me, I was planning on walking on at Baylor, actually, at the time. And there in May after spring practice, Coach Hawkins, who was the head coach here at the time, called me up. They had a center that their backup center had quit after spring training was over, and they needed a backup center.
Right.
So he gave me a call and asked if I'd come for a visit, and I did. And they offered me a partial scholarship like they do with most folks when they come here to play. And when he asked me if books, tuition, fees was okay, I turned around and looked behind me. I said, if you're talking to me, it's great. Because that was more than I was going to get at a more expensive university. So that's what drew me here at the time. My father actually came up here when I was 7 and 8 years old, 2 summers, to work on his master's. And we stayed in over in the old West Halls. That's gone. The one we stayed in is gone now. But back in 1967, that's where we stayed. And as a family, 4 kids and our parents in one of those little apartments. You can imagine what that was like.
Yeah, oh, man.
So that's what drew me here as a student. And then the second time I came back, I replaced Buddy Crawford. The opportunity to coach at my alma mater, where I went to school, was a neat opportunity. And I was here at Coach Hawkins last year and Coach Val's first 2 years. Mm-hmm. But then I got back into high school and coaching and everything. And then as the life takes you through your twists and turns, the opportunity to come back here now 4 years ago, now that I'm in my 5th year here as superintendent, was just an opportunity that I felt like was staring me in the face, and I think God had put before me, and I jumped at the opportunity. So it's like coming back home in a lot of ways because my wife and I both met here. Tammy was a track athlete, and we met here. We got married here, and so it is like home to us. Mm-hmm. A lot of great friends, a lot of great relationships have been able to be rekindled since we've been back. So we're excited about that.
All right.
That's awesome.
You've been here a few years. What do you think has changed the most since you've been at Commerce as an administrator?
Well, I think our reputation, for one. I think our reputation in the district has changed immensely. We aren't anywhere where we want to be yet, but I think that if you were to go out and talk to other folks in the public school business, our reputation is better than it was 4 years ago, for whatever reason. But I think we're doing great things academically. This next year, we'll have, if everything works out, the possibility of our high school graduates to have 38 dual credit college hours. Mm. We're starting vocational certifications where our students in 2 years can have a certification in welding, certification in electricity to be an electrician. We're already doing health science. So we're not only are we providing opportunities for our kids academically, we're also doing it vocationally where they can actually graduate with a certification and go out. I mean, let's face it, welders right now are making really as much as they want to make. I mean, I'm talking $70,000-$80,000 a year. And so we're going to help provide those students because not everybody is a college student. I think our legislature is starting to see that a little bit. And so we're providing those opportunities for our kids. And that's exciting. So those are the things I think have changed the most.
Okay. What's your biggest goal while you're in Commerce?
I want Commerce ISD to be the premier school district in Northeast Texas.
Okay.
Bottom line. I said that the day I got hired, and I'm still saying that now. Again, we still got work to do, but I think we're on the way.
Okay.
So if you had to pick one thing, what would you say the most important part of your job is? If you had to.
Wow. That's a good question. I think that, number one, to be an advocate for our students and teachers. And this is probably going to be a controversial subject. It's not about the parents. It's about the kids and it's about the teachers. And ultimately, the kind of student we produce, are they future ready? That's our job as educators. So bottom line, that's probably the most important part of our job, to making sure our students are future ready, whatever that future holds, be military, workforce, or college. I think that's what we're paid to do.
Okay. Well, now we've got our little controversial topic, which we will get into later in the Friday segment of the show, but we wanted to go ahead and ask you, in your opinion, should NFL prospects be questioned about their sexual preferences? That happened in the NFL Combine.
No. We talked about that briefly. No. It's no different than me interviewing a teacher. I'm not allowed to ask a teacher, a prospective employee for the district, that question, and I don't think that should be any different from the NFL. Mm-hmm. No matter what your personal feeling is on that particular subject, morally or whatever, I don't think it's – I have a hard time justifying an employer asking that question of a potential employee.
Okay. Well, that's all for the serious questions. We're going to go ahead and move into the pretty fun rapid-fire segment.
You know, I've listened to this several times on my iTunes and stuff.
Right.
And I don't like this. I've told
you
I don't like this.
Fire?
No, but anyway. Let's...
Well, we're going to go and throw you in and see what
well,
happens.
You're going to get it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. All right, Billups, you want to start us off?
Absolutely. What is your favorite sport?
Football.
Favorite athlete?
My kids.
Your kids, okay.
Good answer.
There,
favorite team?
Favorite team?
Professional sports team.
Professional sports team?
Mm-hmm. Or collegiate?
Well, I was a Houston Oilers fan, okay. Being from the coast, and I'm a Love You Blue fan, but since they don't exist anymore, I'll say the Dallas Cowboys.
All right.
Okay. Tony Romo fan or not?
I am a Tony Romo fan.
Good for okay. you. College or professional?
College.
Okay, we can go to the next one. Do you like or hate mascots?
Oh, I think they're the coolest thing since peanut butter and jelly.
Okay.
Read or watch a movie?
Watch.
Favorite band?
Oh, my word. Favorite band? I don't have a favorite band, really. I like all kinds of music, all kinds of genres, so I mean, I don't have a favorite band.
Do you have a favorite song?
No, not really. I like Michael Bublé. How about that?
Okay.
I like him. I guess.
Okay, what's your favorite song from Bublé?
Oh, all of them.
All of them. Okay,
yeah, I like jazz music. I like all kinds of music. So.
Okay. What's your biggest inspiration?
My biggest inspiration? Mm-hmm. In other words, what inspires me the most?
Yeah,
my family.
Family.
It's all
okay.
about my family.
When you were growing up, what did you want to be?
Well, when I was real little, I always wanted to be a truck driver. I know it sounds crazy, but I did. But as I got older and got a little more mature, I always wanted to teach and coach.
Okay.
I always wanted to.
Steak or pizza?
Oh, steak.
Okay.
Sausage or bacon?
Bacon.
Golf or bowling?
Golf.
Okay.
If you had one superpower, what would it be?
I'd like to be Inspector Gadget.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Gadget, go, Gadget.
I haven't heard that one yet.
That's an original one.
Yeah.
Okay, would you rather watch a game on TV or at the stadium?
TV.
Okay.
Favorite actor or actress?
Well, let me back up.
Okay.
Now, I got to go to a World Series game.
Oh.
The Rangers, and I've been to opening day. There are certain times it's just you can't.
You have to be there.
You've got to be there.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I'd rather watch it on TV.
Okay. Well, Dopes.
Okay, your favorite actor or actress?
I'm going to bail on you. I don't really have a favorite actor or actress.
Okay.
My daughter, Rebecca, she does play at school.
That counts.
Stuff,
that counts.
So I'll do that.
All right. Fox News or CNN?
I'm a Fox News guy. Sometimes.
Okay.
Even they're getting so far radical to the right, it bothers me sometimes.
Okay.
If you had to take three things out of a burning building with you, what would it be?
Three things.
Non-human things.
Non-human. Okay, there you go. All right. Because I was getting ready to beat that Sunday school answer. Family. Okay. Three things I'd take out of it. My wallet and my computer. I'm dull, aren't I? My wallet, my computer, and I'm burning up right now as I'm trying to think. Probably our animals.
Okay.
Would you rather fight Mike Tyson or talk like him forever?
I mean, even if he hit me one time, I'd fake like I was knocked out. So, but I'd rather fight him than talk like him.
Okay.
Because I would fake it.
Okay, I don't know if you watch either, but American Idol or Dancing with the Stars?
I'm telling you, my daughter and I have a ritual, and American Idol folks, we are.
All right.
We are American Idol fans, you bet.
Well, you have survived the rapid-fire segment. We're going to go take a very quick commercial break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to KETR's Locker Room.
I'm David Erbat, host of Latin Soul. Join me on Tuesday night for a journey through Latin jazz, bossa nova, flamenco, and much more. Latin Soul, Tuesday night at 9, following Natalie Texan on KETR.
Hi, it's Diane Rehm. Delighted that the Diane Rehm Show is now heard across Northeast Texas on KETR. Join me here weekday mornings at 9 for perspectives on issues affecting your world. Have a question you want answered? Join the conversation by phone, email, Facebook, or Twitter. The Diane Rehm Show, weekday mornings at 9 on 88.9 KETR.
There must be 50 ways to support your station. One you might not have considered is donating your car to KETR. It's easy, and your unwanted car, boat, or truck will help provide quality programming for Northeast Texas. So if making a pledge is not your thing, but you have an old car you no longer need, call 855-KETR-123 to schedule a convenient time to pick it up. Or go to our website, ketr.org, and mouse over support to donate online.
Hello, everyone. This is KETR's Locker Room with Cooper Welch, and I am Ryan Billups. In our next segment, we are going to talk about college basketball. There's been a lot of top teams lose in the last week. And Cooper, I wanted to ask you, who are your top four teams right now?
Okay, well, after we saw all these teams lose like we talked about, let's just name a few that lost. We know Indiana lost. We know that Michigan lost. Some other big teams lost, like I think
Duke lost.
Yeah, I think Duke lost. I couldn't really keep up with it last week, so,
I mean,
so many teams were. Yeah,
I mean, it seems like every week one of the top teams is falling.
Yeah,
off.
Whoever's number one, it seems, loses every week this year. But one team that didn't lose, and that's my number one right now, is Gonzaga.
Mm.
Gonzaga hasn't lost in several weeks, and they were set up to be the number one last week. They knew they were going to be number one if they didn't lose. They almost lost to BYU, but they didn't. So they're still my number one.
And it's their first time in school history to be a number one team. So that's a pretty cool thing. I'm kind of rooting for them.
And they're in a non-automatic qualifying conference, too.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool for them.
Yeah. My top four teams are Indiana, Duke, Kansas, and Gonzaga.
Okay. I'm going to have to say Indiana, Gonzaga, Duke, and Miami. I think Miami can still pull it back.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk Big 12 basketball. I know we talked about this last week, but let's go over it again. Now, who do you think is going to win the Big 12, Kansas or Oklahoma State?
I still have to stick with Kansas. They have the better record, first off, and all Kansas has left on their schedule is Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
Baylor's not the same Baylor we've seen in the last few years. Should be an easy win for them. Oklahoma State, however, still has to play Kansas State, and that is a losable game. I actually do think they lose that game.
Okay.
What about you? What do you...
I like Oklahoma State, but I think Kansas just has the tradition of winning, and they have just everything that they need to win this basketball game. So I think in the end they're going to end up winning this game. Even though I would like Oklahoma State to win more, I think the Jayhawks have it.
And Oklahoma State has two games left compared to Kansas's one. So
tough games.
Two tough games.
Baylor. Yeah. All right. Well, we talked a little bit of Baylor. Do you think they're going to make the tournament? They are, I think, 17-9 right now.
Yeah, I really don't. I don't think they make it. Losing to Texas this last week really, really hurt them. Texas is not the same team that they've been in the last...
Worst season in a very,
yes,
very long
they
time.
Yes, they're not a great team. Baylor's lost 8 of their last 11 games. I think even if they play Kansas in their last week, I think even if they beat Kansas in the last week of the season, they're still not automatic.
Right.
They're still not going to be automatically in the tournament. I think that's really their only chance of making it is beating Kansas, and you know, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't see it happening either. But stranger things have happened in the NCAA tournament, especially since it's continuously broadened up to 68 teams make it in now. Obviously, there's the first four games on March 19th and 20th, which is those four teams that they've added since the 65 round. So those four will play, and the winner of those four teams will get into the regular tournament of 65 people, of 65 right. teams. So that's what they're playing for. But still, I mean, there's a chance they could maybe get one of those, like, 68th position or something. They're not on ESPN's bubble watch. They're not on right now. They're not in. They're one of the first four out.
Yeah.
But stranger things have happened.
Yeah. If they beat Kansas, I'm rooting for them to get in. But I just right. I don't see it happening.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk some A&M Commerce basketball. Let's talk about what happened this last week or so in Commerce basketball. We had the women have won the last two games to get a good position in the conference tournament. They are number seven now in the tournament. I can't remember who they're playing. I think it's Midwestern. But we'll have to check up on that, and we'll post the corrections if there are any on the Facebook page. And the men, however, have lost two straight, actually four straight, going back to the previous week. So they've lost four in a row, two to whom they probably should have beaten. Their last home game here, which was against West Texas, they actually had their worst offensive performance since 1983, which in that game, almost exactly 30 years ago, was against TCU, not against a Division II opponent. It was against Texas Christian
wow.
University. In that game, they lost 35-26. In this game, they lost 54-39. And that's
a winnable game.
Yeah, they it shot is. Barely above 20% for the entire
goodness.
Game. And I love our Commerce basketball teams. Don't get me wrong. Coach Walker is a great coach. I mean, he has the wins records here. I love Taylor. I love the team. But they're just not doing it right now.
No. And maybe they get hot before the tournament. That's kind of what you hope for, is you get hot at the right time.
And that's what we were hoping, is that they'd have that last win against Eastern New Mexico,
right.
who they should have beat.
Right.
And who they were leading in the second half of the game. But they just couldn't hold on to it. But
some nights you have bad shooting nights. And That's what happened. I mean, when that happens, you just got to take it to the hoop, get it on the foul line.
Well, let's real quick just talk a little bit more about the A&M Commerce women. They managed to win their last two games, which is great. They have almost tripled their wins from last season, which is a great performance.
It's great for them.
It's great for Coach Anderson. You know, she hasn't had the best of seasons until this season. So it's great for them to really just have that win streak going into the playoffs, like you talked about. All right, I've got the actual schedule. Tomorrow at noon, Wednesday at noon, is A&M Commerce Women versus Abilene Christian at noon. So sorry about Midwestern. That's actually the men's opponent. The men face the Midwestern State University at 8:30, also on Wednesday. So both games are on Wednesday, and they're both at the Allen Event Center. So that's tomorrow. Women at noon, 8:30 for the men. If you don't have a ticket to the conference game, I would really suggest that you get it. But if you don't have time to get to the tournament, or just don't want to spend the money, obviously listen here on the station, because we'll have the play-by-play with Charlie Chitwood. So be sure to tune in for that if you can't make it, or to head out there and support the Lions in the postseason. But that's about all we're going to talk for them. Now we're going to move to a little bit more familiar area for Billups, the Mavericks basketball.
Well, Cooper, I have officially shaved my Mavs beard.
Okay.
With their loss on Sunday to Houston. It's a 3-point game at halftime, and Houston just absolutely, I mean, it ended up being like a 30-point game.
Yeah.
By the end of the third quarter, they were up by 30.
Yeah, Houston had a 44-point third quarter.
And that was coupled with our terrible offensive performance in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I had hope until that game that the Mavs still had a shot at making the playoffs. I've officially shaved the beard. I've officially given up.
Okay.
Technically, they could still make the playoffs. It is unlikely. The Mavs are 26-33. There are 23 games left in the season.
Mm-hmm.
In the past 5 years, historically, in the West, you generally need about 45 wins to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That means the Mavs will have to go 19-4 in their last 23 games to have a shot at making it.
All right. Well, let's start the countdown clock then. Let's go ahead and say, if the Mavs lose their next four, or any of the of the 23 games left,
they lose more than four games.
We will put up the official notice for us that the Mavs are out. Right now, there's still that 1% chance of hope.
I mean, they've done that in seasons past. They've gone 19-4 and stretched it. They've won 15 straight games.
But they also had Tyson Chandler.
Those were different
Jason
teams.
Kidd.
So yeah. Dirk is playing awesome again.
That's true.
Which is great. It's really kind of sad because I think this is a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Dirk's healthy from the beginning of the year, they do make the playoffs.
Right.
I don't think they're a championship team. I don't think they win the championship by any means, but I think they definitely at least make some noise, make someone uncomfortable in the playoffs. So
yeah,
it is sad to see, Dirk's only getting older, so you hate to see a wasted season like this. But hopefully, it'll lead to a free agent acquisition in the offseason
or a good draft pick.
Yeah, or a good draft pick. So
yeah, well, or both.
Yeah, hopefully they don't go 16-7 or something and don't make the playoffs and blow their draft
pick. Blow their lottery chance, yeah. All right, so in other words, you're saying either win 19 games or lose all of them.
Yes. hopefully they win 19 games. I'd much rather see them in the playoffs than see them get a weak draft, weak lottery pick. But
especially in a weak draft.
Yeah, and it's a weak year. So,
All right,
we'll see.
Who do you have making the playoffs in the Western Conference then? We've talked the Lakers' chances a little bit, but the Blazers, I think, are still ahead of them, and then Houston is ahead of them in the eighth seed. So who do you have as your top eight?
Actually, as my top eight, starting from
number one, who's going to be the number one seed?
Man, that's really tough. I don't want to take it away from your San Antonio Spurs.
Okay.
However, with the injury to Tony Parker, that does, they're still playing well, but that does hurt their chances a little bit.
Of course.
I'm going to give the number one seed to Oklahoma City. They're only, I think, three games back right now. I'm gonna say they pull it out just because of injury to San Antonio. So that puts San Antonio at two.
Okay.
I have the Clippers at three. I have Memphis at four, Denver at five. Here's where it starts kind of getting tricky. I have Houston at seven. I do think they make the playoffs. I have Golden State at... Did I just say Houston at seven?
Yeah, you skipped from five to seven.
I have Houston at six, and I'll have Golden State at seven. I think Utah drops off, and I think the Lakers come in and take the eighth spot. Mm-hmm. They're two games behind Utah right now for that eighth spot. I think they get it. I think Portland misses it. Dallas misses it. And Utah gets pushed out.
Okay. Well, let me give you my top eight really quick then, because we have a little bit less than a minute left in the segment. Since San Antonio has more home games left than away games, and they're mostly against sub-500 teams except a stretch of Houston, Denver, Los Angeles, and Miami all in 1 week. Except for that, I've got San Antonio as one still.
And also that you're a homer.
You forgot to mention that part. I got to go for my Spurs. But we got San Antonio one, Oklahoma two. I'm going to say that that the Clippers stay in the third place. Memphis stays in fourth. Denver fifth. I'm going to say Golden State keeps it at sixth, especially if Bogut comes back healthy. And then we've got Houston seven and Utah eight.
So I do not think the Lakers make the push in...
And that's half because I don't think they have the talent, and also half because I just don't like the Lakers. And I love to see them
fail. I don't want to put them in there.
Right.
I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them miss the playoffs and Dwight frustrated. Dwight gets mad, leaves.
And comes to Dallas.
It's just a perfect situation.
For a Spurs fan.
Cuban's a genius again.
For a Spurs fan, you don't want Dwight here. So, I'm like, yeah, Lakers. Anyway. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. For Tuesday, on KETR Locker Room. We'll be back Friday at 5. Be sure to tune in. We're also on iTunes now, so search for KETR Locker Room on iTunes. This is KETR's Locker Room, the one and only sports podcast for Northeast Texas.